Now, we've already mentioned it. This is the beginning of Advent for us, you know. And what is the event? Event, I ought to call it. The event is that God came to earth. Amen? That God, the creator of all things, loved humankind so much that he said, I want them to know me in a real deep personal way. All right? I want my creation to know me so much that I'm going to leave heaven, or I'm going to send part of me from heaven to the earth. All right? And I'm going to find this one particular young lady, and she's going to hold this creature, this creation that created all things. The creation that the creator made. Right? So, and you look at that, you start thinking about that. And how wonderful that is, that God would become one of us for the simple reason that we could have a relationship with him that's real, that's personal, that's deep. We're going to be looking at that this morning a little bit, where I was going through, you know, all of the accounts of Christ's birth and all that kind of stuff this past week, and The name Emmanuel kept ringing over in my head. God with us. Emmanuel. I said, well, that's great, but what does that mean? Where does that come from? God with us. How can we understand it and wrap our hearts and our minds around that? In Isaiah, this is 750 years before Christ. There was a king, Ahaz, and he was a wicked, wicked king. And the Lord challenged him, because he was about ready to go to war with a couple of other kings. And the Lord challenged him to ask me to do something that would just blow your mind. All right? And so in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 11 and reading through. And well, we'll start in 10, 7 and 10. Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord, thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the heights above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but also ye weary my God also? But you're going to, it's a small thing, Ahaz, that you're just giving the people a hard time. But listen, now you want to give God a hard time? Right? And that's what he's saying. He said, listen, Ahaz, I've already said, brother, ask anything you want, no matter how high, no matter how deep. You ask the wildest thing, and just watch me do it. And out of the king's arrogance, he says, I ain't going to ask you nothing. I'm not going to tempt them. And he even put a Christian spin or a Bible spin on it. I'm not going to tempt the Lord. As he's talking to the prophet of the Lord. Now, God told him to ask it, right? So when God tells you to ask something, shouldn't you ask it? Right? So God said, listen, boy, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to give you a prophecy here, and it's going to just, you will never guess what I'm going to do. He says that there will be, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, all right, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And as I was wrapping my mind, trying to get that all in my little bitty square head, I was trying to get it all figured out. I said, God with us. God's going to give us a sign. And we're going to look at this now. All right, now, there's going to be a young lady that's never knew a man. She's going to become pregnant. Well, that ain't never happened before. That's a wild thing. And you look at it, every mammal on the face of the planet has always, they've always, you know, had that relationship, man and woman, and they conceived, and then a child was born, whether it be a deer or a human, right? It always happens that way. But God says, I'm going to show you something that's it's going to mess up your everything about you. Going to do something that's never been seen before, never been thought of by man before, that a virgin's going to give birth. Man. Now, he said this, it was 750-ish years before Christ was born. Now think about that. I'm going to give you a prophecy. I'm going to tell you something today. All right? Now, how good is God's word? Right? He said, I'm going to tell you something today. And we know now that we're looking back at history, 750 years later, this event happened where Mary, a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. While we're in Isaiah, flip over a little bit to Isaiah chapter 9. Because this Emmanuel that's going to be with us, there's some characteristics that he's going to have that nobody else is going to have. Right? There's some things about him that is special. It's spectacular. And starting in verse 6 and working forward, talking about this Emmanuel, this one that's going to be coming, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, comma. All right, so that's one name. He's going to be called Wonderful. The next thing he's going to be called in this right here is a Counselor. He's also going to be called the Mighty God. He's going to be called the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Well, praise God for that. Isn't that neat? So this woman, this little virgin girl, she's going to give birth. He's going to be a male child, right? He's going to be a son. And that son's going to have some titles. He's going to have some characteristics. 750 years before he's born, there's going to be some characteristics in this little baby dude, right? That God's going to give to humankind. He says, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a child. It's going to be a son. And the government will be upon his shoulders. Now, not the government of the world, but the kingdom of God is going to be upon his shoulders. He wasn't controlling the Roman government when he came. He wasn't controlling any of the worldly governments. He said, listen, the kingdom of God, the government of the Lord is going to be on this child. All right? He's going to be known as Wonderful. He's going to be known as a Counselor. He's going to be known as the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to make this happen. Now let's look at some of those titles that he's given. All right, as I went over it, I mean, he's going to be Wonderful, one, Counselor, two, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. There's going to be a government, and it's the government of peace. It's the government of the throne of David. And in his kingdom, it's going to be put in order. It will be establishment with judgment and with justice from that time that he is born and forevermore. Amen. Good news? Is that just a little bit of good news? Guess who's in control? Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now let us examine, let us wrap our minds around that just for the next little bit of time. As he said, I'm going to start backwards and work forward because that's what I like to do. I read some scripture and I say, wow, I like all this stuff. Well, let's talk about the government of God. Do you know that God has a government? And what do they call that? A theocracy, right? They're one. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He has a government. He has a hierarchy in heaven. And guess what? In heaven, things are done the King's way, right? In the kingdom of God, and when Jesus came preaching, what did he preach? Go ahead. Starts with kingdom. Go ahead. Say it out loud. Kingdom of what? Oh, come on. Kingdom of God. What did he say? He told his disciples, go and tell everybody about the kingdom. All right? Tell everybody about who I am, what I'm doing. Tell everybody about this great thing that's going to happen, that I am indeed the Messiah and I've come to set up a kingdom. Not just any kingdom, not a kingdom run by a president, not a kingdom run by an earthly king, small k, all right? Not nothing. I'm here to set the things right. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. The authority of God in man's hearts was lost through sin. And Jesus said, one of the things that I came for is to reestablish my kingdom in the hearts of man. And there will be a time that he will actually set it up on the planet Earth. But first, he's going to gonna set it up in our hearts. Right? And how does he do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Father calls you by name, you accept him, you humble yourself, or he calls you and you recognize that he's God and you're not. Unfortunately, a lot of us haven't recognized that yet. You know, I still think I'm God. Look at me. I do such good work. I'm so proud of myself. Hope I don't break my arm and pat myself on the back. Well, if you, then your kingdom, you know, God's kingdom says is humble yourself, live humbly, walk humbly before me, have a contrite and a broken heart. Those are the things that I really want out of you. So in that, he says, I'm going to set up a kingdom. In Isaiah 9 and 2, since we're right there. The people have walked in darkness and have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Did you see that? And you multiplied the people group, but you haven't increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of the harvest. I'm going to be happy about God because of what he gives me. All right, that's what he's saying here when I bring it back to the language that we speak today. I'm going to be happy because God, he's blessed me so much. And then what are we going to do? We're going to divide the spoil. Now, is that really what the kingdom of God is all about? Is it about wealth and prosperity? About what you can get out of God? Come on, give me more stuff. That's not what God wants. He wants us to die to ourselves and to understand that the kingdom of God is greater than the mass of the world that we have. It's greater than all the gold that you can gather up here on this earth. It's greater than all of the things. It's greater than anything that this little globe here that we live on can supply. The kingdom of God is massively better than anything we can imagine. And that kingdom is upon the shoulders of this man-child. The Son of God, Emmanuel, he said, that government, I'm coming, I'm going to send him. And when I send him here, he's going to set things straight. He's going to get your thinking squared away. Did he? He did for some. Now the kingdom's for anybody who would accept it, but only some believed it. By faith. By faith you come to know that there's that kingdom, there's that God, there is Emmanuel with us. While we're right here thinking, flip your Bibles over to John, the New Testament, 1-5, and we should know this, I speak on it enough, y'all ought to. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, when? In the beginning. When was that? It was the beginning, right? Hey, kind of simple there, right? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made, and all things that were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All right, now wrap your mind around that for a little bit. In the beginning, you know, God told that king, Ahaz, what's his name? Ahaz, thank you. I'm having a hard time getting that out of my lips today. But God spoke to Ahaz, and he said, listen, Ahaz, I want you to know that there's a promise coming. All right, John the apostle was alive when the promise came. Right? And John, the apostle, he's saying, listen, I met this guy that was in the beginning with God. All right? He was Emmanuel. He was with God. The Word of God was in him. Everything that was made by him and through him. And without this guy, this one Emmanuel, without him, we call him Jesus the Christ. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. Right? So he was in the beginning with God. Emmanuel was there. And we have that prophecy from Isaiah to the king. And he said, listen, there's going to be a lady that gives birth, and she's going to bring into the world this God, this Emmanuel. And not everybody's going to understand him. Not everybody's going to like him. Not everybody's going to want him to be their Lord.
He says that, that he came and he was the light of the life of and the light of man. And that light of man, he shined into the darkness, but the darkness comprehended him not. They could not wrap their mind around that Jesus was Emmanuel. They human beings still in this time, I mean, we talk to folks all the time. And they say, yeah, I know about Jesus. He was a good prophet. I know about Jesus. He healed the sick. He walked on the water. But do they really know him as God, Jehovah, God, the I Am, in human form? He's God with us, Emmanuel. It brings on a different sense, doesn't it? And that light, that God that is, that God came to earth and he dwelt among men, that we could gnosko him, that we could know him in a deep, personal, real relationship. Amen? That is, thank you, praise God for that. Oh, God loved the world so much that he gave, right? So the government of the eternal was on him. The government of the kingdom of God was on him and in him. And he came to proclaim the new and the acceptable day of the Lord. The day of salvation was then. It's now. This Emmanuel, he's also known as the Prince of Peace, right? So the government, like I said, I'm going at that backwards. So I'm going from the government, and then he's the Prince of Peace. The government and peace was on him, and then he's called the Prince of Peace. Oh, the calming effectiveness of Christ in your life. Who here is struggling with stuff? Amen. I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about your family is falling apart. They're stinking crazy, and you don't know what to do about it. Amen. Amen. We got those folks in my house. Not my house, it's just me and my wife. In our family. My wife is not stinking crazy. If anyone's crazy in that relationship, it's me. Right? So anyhow, I love you, baby. Please don't beat me up when we go home. She really doesn't beat me hard. So. Focus. Focus. Okay. Need to get back right there. I'm sorry. And so anyhow, this God, this Emmanuel, this Prince of Peace, how often do we struggle with the storms of life? Amen? Every day, right? Every second of every day. Do we need to? Have you ever heard that that's not your burden to bear? What did Jesus say about that? About those things, that he being the Prince of Peace? Verse John 14 and 27, Jesus said this before he went to heaven. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give it to you. Oh, let your heart not be troubled, or be not troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Do we freak out over so many things that we really... It's not yours. That burden's not yours to carry. That burden's not yours. It's heavy, and it's been heavy. And man, you've been lugging this heavy, stinking burden on your back for years. Right? Anybody feel that? Anybody have that? Well, it's time to shut that stuff off. You know, it's not yours to carry. If you're a Christian, he has peace for you. Jesus says, my peace, my rest, my comfort, I leave my peace. I'm the Prince, the King of peace. Shalom. I am the one. But we often struggle and we wrestle with all these things in our mind. I'm trying to carry the burden for my family. I'm carrying the burden for my children. I'm carrying the burden for my next door neighbor. I'm carrying my husband, my wife's burden. I'm carrying all this burden, all these hurts, all these pains, all this stuff from my past. I got this pile of garbage on my back. It's just, it's so hard. Life is so hard. You know why it's hard? We're carrying stuff that don't belong to us. Jesus said, yoke up next to me. Come put my yoke on. Oh, my burden's light and easy. But no, God, I got to carry it myself. And we get burned out, we get hurt carrying too much weight.
few years back when I was younger, better looking, more physically fit. I was still installing floors all the time, you know, so I thought I was a pretty good fit. Well, a couple of friends said, hey, we want to go for a walk in the Adirondacks, and we want to hit a couple of high peaks and stuff. You want to go with us? Sure I do. Well, I packed up like an 82nd Airborne paratrooper, dude. I had no concept, and I carried this burden on that trip. Now, no joke, my backpack weighed 100 pounds, right? And if you've ever walked in the mountains, you don't walk with 100 pounds on your back. They showed me their backpack, and it was slim, it was trim. My wife has a picture of me, and I look like, dude, I got this. The backpack was as big as this pulpit, right? It's huge. It had everything. I had cast iron skillets, you know, all kinds of stuff in there, right? And I'm going to go on this 3-day hike. Man, I couldn't do it. I mean, we hit three peaks. We hit three of the highest peaks in New York in one day. All right, that's crazy. I mean, those guys, they were good at this. I was not. I was halfway up that mountain throwing stuff up. I'm packing. Oh, I don't need this. Right? Why? Because it was killing me. Boy, and after that first day, we got arrested the first day. All right, and I can't go into the story. How did you get arrested on a hike? Okay, the first day we walked up, and then on the way back down, and then you got to go so many thousand feet above before you can camp, right? Because they don't let you camp in the Adirondacks unless you're above like 5,000 feet or something like that, right? Or 4,000 feet, I forget, but there's a height that you got to be. Well, after we climbed that first thing and came back down, it was night, it was raining, I wasn't going no further. My day is done. I'm camping right here. Well, the next morning we woke up and the game wardens were there and they said, you can't camp here, everybody get in handcuffs and follow us to our car. So we all got arrested that day. And so because we camped on the wrong spot, you weren't high enough, and we all cried, you know. If we would have went up there, y'all would have been rescuing us through the night. I don't care. You're not allowed to camp here. You got to camp above so many feet. So anyhow, we all got arrested. Long story combined into this. The problem was I was carrying too much weight, all right? I wasn't seeking peace from God. I was thinking I could carry it on my own. I can walk with all of this stuff. There's nothing I can't do. I am man. I can make it. Well, no, we can't. And often we're walking through this life and we don't carry the Prince of Peace, or we don't unload our burdens on him. We bring it to the cross. We try to bring it home with us, right? We say, God, well, I can't carry this anymore. Relieve that from me. And the Lord says, I want to take that out of your pack, but you fight for it. And God says, all right, you want it, you can keep it. And we get burned out. This is where anxiety comes from. This is where depression comes from. This is where all of those things that the doctors try to drug you out of, right? They give you all the Zoloft, Meloft, all those things, you know, that the doctors say they can rework your mind. But the Bible tells us in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, you probably know this verse also. Be careful for how much? Nothing. Be anxious, don't worry about this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right? What do you do with all that burden, all that baggage, all that mess we carry around? Kick it out, don't worry about it. Stop being anxious over it. Care for nothing, be careful for nothing. And instead of being careful for it, pray about it. And ask supplication, ask God to take it from you. Pray about it. God, I can't be honest with the Lord. I can't do this anymore. Right? And when we get to that spot where we say, I can't do this, you know what you hear? God said, I knew you couldn't do it when you picked it up. You know why? Because it wasn't your burden to bear. We try to be the Holy Spirit for other people. Right? Don't we? We do. Me and my wife, we see somebody struggling with something. We say, oh, brother, let me help you with that. Okay, so we take it from you, put it in our backpack. Still not my manure to carry.
All right, I had another word. I changed it. See, the maturity in Christ I have now. All right, it's not my stuff to carry. That stuff belonged to God. God said, you deal with this. You bring it. You don't ask Pastor Curtis and Debbie to take this from you, and we shouldn't volunteer to take this from you. Don't ask Joshua to take it from you. Don't ask George to take it from you. It's not his to carry. Give it to Jesus, right? He cares for you. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, and he came to give us peace. But we refuse peace because we want to carry everybody else's garbage for them. Or maybe it's our garbage and we just don't want to get rid of it. It doesn't have to be somebody else's garbage. My wife doesn't have much garbage in her life, but she carries everybody else's. And she says, stop it. You know, we have that problem, and it's not just her, it's me too. Oh, come on, Galatians. I know you're in this Bible. I'm flipping through way too fast. Ephesians, sorry. I was going to the wrong book in my mind. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to just read a little bit here. It's not much. I think it's verse 13 through 22, talking about this Prince of Peace. But now, in Christ Jesus, you have sometimes were afar off, but you've been brought nigh, been brought close by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Woohoo! He's our peace. Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, to make in himself the twain one new man, and so, or thus, so making peace, that he might be, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. All right, did you see what he said here in this, to the church of Ephesus, or to the church, you? All right, God has made peace. He broke down that middle wall of commandments and stuff. He abolished in his flesh the enemy. Even the law of commandments that were contained in the ordinances. How to make the sacrifices, killing your sheep, how to take a bath, the way you brush your teeth, all those things. He took all that out the way and he says, I paid it all. All right? I paid it all. I took care of all that sacrificial blood. It's on me, baby. You ain't got to carry it no more. He made peace for you in that, all right? That he might reconcile both unto God the body in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. And so he came and he preached peace to us who were afar off. And then he brought us close. He brought us near. Praise God for that. See, he is the Prince of Peace, but we often struggle so hard against that peace that he gave us. Oh, man, I got so much more. Oh, I'm going to tie these two together. The Mighty God and the Everlasting Father, okay? We're going to put those together because we only... I got 3 minutes and I got 75 minutes more to talk, okay? So anyhow, let's see if I can bring these two together in one. All right, he's the Everlasting Father, and he is the Mighty God, or he's the Mighty God, he's the Everlasting Father. Remember back in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. And in verse 14 it says, the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And John says, I beheld the glory. All right, that's John chapter 1, verse 14. And I beheld the glory of the only begotten. Right? He said, listen, the Word became flesh. What God spoke in the very beginning, it was just, he commanded things to happen. But then Emmanuel, right, 750 years ago from Isaiah, then Emmanuel, God with us, the Word spoken by God, left heaven, and he came into a virgin girl and impregnated her with the very essence of God. And that very essence of God grew into a human being, right? Why do you think God did that?
Well, one, to remind, amen for me, right? Go ahead.
to make a way where there was no way.
Amen. To make a way where there was no way. He came to be tempted in every way just like us, and yet without sin. Emmanuel was born of a woman, but not of a human man. He was born by the essence of God, the Spirit of God, over top of a lady, a young girl that had never known a man. All right? And through that birth, God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, Emmanuel, God, Jehovah, the I Am God, is with us. How fantastic is that?
Where flesh is saying go this way, my spirit is saying shut up and stay with your notes. All right, because there's a whole thing I could go sideways with this and carry it down a different way. But I want you to know this, that the everlasting Father, the great I Am, became a human. Jesus said twice in the Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega. Amen. He's the beginning and the end. And Hebrews 12 and verse 2, we look unto Jesus because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the I Am. He was in the beginning with God. Oh, John saw him. This is Revelation 19, 11 through 15. Let me flip over there because I don't want to. I got it written, but I don't think I wrote it correctly. It's in my notes. Let me let you know this. Never trust your notes when you got a Bible in front of you. Hope that I got the right scripture written down, but never trust your notes. Amen? Always go back to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19, 11 through 15. All right, talking about this God manifested in flesh. Oh, I'm in 18. That's why it did not look right. All right. And I saw heaven open up, John saying here, John the Apostle. I saw heaven open up, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Who's faithful? Who's true? Jesus. He's the only one really faithful and true, right? And in righteousness, he shall judge and make war. In his righteousness, by the way, he does things. He's right in doing it. He's going to judge the world, and he's going to make war with all the enemies of God. Physical war, right? His eyes were a flaming fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written on that no man knew but himself. All right, so all the things that we know about Jesus as Christ, there's still some stuff we don't know. Isn't that good to know? We don't know everything about God. I would hate to know everything about God, because if I knew everything about him, there would be no mystery about it. I don't think my mind can wrap around everything about God anyhow. But he has a name that no human knows except for himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. All right? Yeah, who is he? He's the Word of God. All right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. With God. And the Word was God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And where did it dwell? Among us. Emmanuel. All right? Emmanuel, that's what happened. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His Word, he is the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. I put two edges in there, because in a different translation of the Bible that I used to read has that in there, all right? And the different translation of the Word of God that I normally read or I used to read is wrong, all right? That's why I use the King James now. It's real plain and simple, all right? So anyhow, I love to say, how do you know it's wrong? Because I can get into it, but that's a different sermon. I already told you I don't have enough time to finish what I got written down already. But anyhow, the Word of God, it's sharp sword, and it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the wine press of his fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Woo! All right, so we know who this guy is, right? Emmanuel, God with us, right? We know his might, we know his grace, we know he sent peace to us, and we know that he is the Almighty God, he's the everlasting Father, and that he has the government, the rule of God is with him, right? So there's scripture to back all of that stuff up. All right, now, this Emmanuel as a counselor. Oh, we had talked about the peace of God and carrying those burdens and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever sat down and had God counsel you? Amen? The counsel of God. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your, how many? All. How many? All. How many burdens do we, how many cares do we keep to ourselves? If you keep one, you keep too many. All right? Because it ain't yours. Cast all your cares upon him, upon Christ. Why? For he cares for you. Do you really know that God cares for you? He cares about your burdens. He cares about your hurt. He cares about the weight that you're carrying around with you. That is none of your business to be carrying anyhow. He says, take all of those cares, all of those anxieties, all of that hurt, all that garbage, and give it to him. Because he cares for you. Why is it so hard for us in this world right now? Why do we have so many people on mind-altering drugs? Because, amen, say it again.
Pride.
Pride. I don't need to give this cut to God. I can take it. I can take care of it myself. And the psychiatrist will say, go ahead, you can take care of it yourself. I'm going to give you this pill that's going to kill your kidneys, kill your liver, make you pee purple, all right? But it'll calm your mind out. All right? Yeah, we're going to change your DNA with vaccines and all that kind of mess, and we're going to really mess up the human race, but take a deep breath. We got it under control. All right? When God says, cast how much of your cares? All of them. So you got to bring your cares. You got to be honest to God. You got to be honest with God, right? How often do we struggle with all these cares of the life, carrying all these burdens that are none of ours to carry in the first place? They're too heavy. In fact, at times, they were never ours to carry, as I've said before. Jesus, I like it when Jesus sets things straight. Amen? In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? Who's tired of carrying it? Amen? Give it to Jesus. Come to him and give it to him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, because I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Happy day. So let me ask you this, people. Okay? Let me ask me this. Not you guys. I got to ask, why do I not do that? Alan said a little while ago, it's pride. I think I can pick up that roll of carpet there. It's 50 feet of carpet. Don't worry about it. I'll pick it up. Right? I think I'm gonna jack up that truck, and I'm not going to use no hydraulic. I'm going to grab a hold of that bumper, and I'm going to pick it up. It's not yours to carry. You can't do it. And even if you do manage to get that 50-foot of carpet looked up on one side and you put it on your shoulder, when the weight comes down, it will snap your back. Amen? Been there, done that, and walked for a limp for a long time. Didn't break my back, but it ruined the muscles in my back. Actually, mine was a refrigerator. A lady asked me to carry upstairs. And so I did, right? And I said, oh, yeah, I can do it. I'm the man, and I can do this. I took the refrigerator, I put my straps on it, wrapped the straps around my shoulders, had her push it over on my back, started going up the steps. I missed a step. When I missed the step, I fell down on the stairs, and the refrigerator fell on top of me and drug me down, face first, down all those steps. I laid there till the ambulance got there, okay? I was done. No, I ended up finished carrying it up the stairs, but still, it was stupid. It wasn't mine to carry. I told you I'd get it up there. I ain't going to come to work tomorrow, but I got it up there today, you know? And so that's stupid, stupid stuff. We carry these things that don't belong to us. Don't you know he's our counselor, that he cares? He wants you to lean in him. He wants you to not have to struggle with these things. He wants you to give it over to him. He gave us his spirit, right? He gave you the Holy Spirit back in the book of John. John chapter 14. Flip over there. Not Acts. John. Acts 16. Not 16. Not 14. All right. Okay. Jesus, before he went, before he ascended to the Father, before all that stuff was happening, he said, I'm going to pray to the Father, verse 16 of chapter 14. I'm going to pray the Father, ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. All right? I have the Holy Spirit living me for how long? Forever. He's my, what? Comforter? Oh, every good counselor ought to be able to give you comfort, right? He ought not have to dope you up to make you comfortable, all right? He ought not have to do that. You trust in Jesus Christ. You carry your burdens to him. You pour your life out to him. He says, I'm going to give you comfort through this. I'm going to give you a comforter, one, a paracletus, one just like me, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Amen. I don't know how forever long is, but it's longer than today. Right? It's longer than what this burden that we're trying to carry will last. Amen? I'm going to give it to you forever. He's the Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. I will come to you. And in verse 26 of the same chapter, I wanted to read the whole thing, but because it's time and space, I'm not going to. Verse 26 and following says, but the comforter, the paracletus, the one who's going to, just like me, that's going to live in you, the paracletus, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, Emmanuel, right? God with us. He's going to send him in his name. He shall teach you how many things?
All
things. And he'll bring all things to your remembrance, to remember whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives, I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why do we worry about all these things? It's not ours to carry. We have Emmanuel, God with us. And he's not off in the corner over somewhere. George, you know where he is? He's right there. He's inside of you. He is in you. He's part of you. And he wants you to know him, that he is the great I am. He's Emmanuel. And he cares for you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you counseling. He wants to meet you in the middle of your need, in the middle of your hurt, and help you with that. All you got to do is trust him enough to get your yoke in his line. All right? Yoke up with him. Right? Lean into him. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And he came to us that we could know him. We don't have to know a thought about him. We can know him. And now that we can know him, he says, even better than you just knowing about me, you could really know me. I'm going to give you myself to live in you. That you don't have to carry that weight anymore. It's not yours to carry. Not yours. I could put all the psychiatrists out of business with this sermon. If the Christians would listen to it, if the Christians would trust this, just those who are born again, if you would trust this, then you would really find out the first thing that I'm going to end up with, how wonderful. How wonderful Emmanuel is. That's the first thing he started with was how wonderful counselor, right? I went, he's counselor. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so wonderful? We serve a mighty God. Emmanuel, God with us. It is wonderful. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful healer. What a wonderful provider. He's God with us. How marvelous and how wonderful he has loved us. The most wonderful thought about God is that he wants you to know him with a deep sincerity, love, and compassion. He cares for you. Again, God so loved the world that he gave Emmanuel to you. He gave God, became man,
and dwelt among us, that we could know him. What a wonderful Savior that is. All other religions in the world try to make you better to get to God. All right? All of them do. But you know what God did? While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. You didn't have to get better. You had to get him. And when you got a hold of him, or he got a hold of you, when you came to Jesus and you confess that, he says, peace, man. Comfort, man. Ability, victory. The wonderful works of God is on you and in you. And all you got to do is unplug it. Unplug yourself from this world. Cut the tether line. Right? We're holding on to all these burdens, man, all these problems of everybody else. I'm so worried about the government and the president. I'm so worried about the Middle East. I'm so worried about my cousin, my nephew, my son, my daughter, my mother, my father. I'm so worried about all this garbage. And it's in my backpack. Folks, take that backpack off. Take it off. It's not yours. Who's in control of the governments of the world?
God.
Jesus, God, amen? Who's in control of the salvation of your loved one? God. Who's in control of the healing of your loved one? God. So why do you think you can fix it? You can't. It's not yours to fix. All right? You don't got the tools for it. And when you try to carry around all that other baggage, it just wears you out, right? It just wears you out. I was carrying all that luggage up in the mountains and all that kind of stuff. I didn't need, I had to hide a couch in there, man. I had everything, right? Anything that you needed, I had it in my backpack, man. And how it just wore me out. Because it wasn't mine to carry. I didn't need all that garbage. Folks, we got way more garbage in our backpack than what we need. It's time to bring it to Jesus. This is Christmas. God did send his son. He sent himself that we could know the freedom that we have, the liberties that we have in him. All we got to do is trust him. I love you, folks. I got nothing else to say about that. Either you're going to do it or you ain't. Right? Ain't none of my business from this point forward. I have let the cat out of the bag. Right? If you carry your burden and it wears you out, that's your fault. Ain't none of my business. Anyhow, I love you. I'm going to go. Christmas is coming, and I'm going to go with an empty sack. Amen? I ain't got nothing. That's the way Jesus wants me to be anyhow, is empty that he could fill me with the peace and the love of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, I praise you, I love you. Lord, I pray even now for the congregation that's here, for anybody who might hear over the internet. Lord, that whatever burdens that they have, Lord, that you would remind them to let them go. To take that weight that's not theirs to carry, and cast it to you. Lord, help us rest in you. Oh, give us the peace and the love and the fulfillment of your word in our lives. Father, you have the government on your shoulders, the government of the kingdom of God. You are the counselor. You are the mighty God. Yeah, you are the Father, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace. Lord, help us to remember that. This week, as we go out and love people, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.